Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal prepped enchiladas, to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
The League of Ireland Pod
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Welcome to the LOI Pod here on Off the Ball. It is Stephen with you again this week alongside Vinny and Gareth. Rovers finally did it. Excuse me, wrong time to get a frog in the throat. Rovers finally did it. Champions of Ireland once again. Congratulations to Stephen Bradley and all of his players and staff. 5 titles in 6 seasons is no mean feat. And we should add as well, Bray Wanderers and Treaty United meeting in the First Division playoff final this Sunday in Athlone. But who they will play, we will find out later. We'll see what the lads think anyway. First out, the League of Ireland Pod and Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free, always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Now, lads, we did give Rovers their flowers before that slow bike race commenced a number of weeks ago, and we will be discussing their achievements again, win or lose, after the cup final. So we can turn our focus to Rovers then. But just briefly, and as well, I should say, congrats to Stephen Bradley and Glenn Cronin for completing the Dublin City Marathon for Oscar's kids on Sunday. Well done. Quick word to you guys. Vinny?
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful achievement, and you sort of hope to enjoy it, because you never know. One day you'd be sitting in a studio or on a podcast with Gareth and yourself. So enjoy it while you can, lads. That's my message.
The only way is up, Vinny. The only way is up.
No, it's a brilliant achievement, though, isn't it? Like, it took them a while to get over the line, but I think, to be fair to them, because the job was done a few weeks ago, probably made it hard. But it's a brilliant achievement for anybody to win the league, and you have to enjoy it. They don't last forever. We all think, whether it was Dundalk, whether it was Rovers, whoever it is, Celtic at the moment, you don't be long getting knocked off your perch, so you have to enjoy it while you can. And fair play to them. They've been the best team. The best team win the league, and they've won the league.
Yeah, Gareth.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant achievement. I mean, to do the marathon and then get up for the game, and even the time in the marathon. Glenn Cronin, when I played with him, he never ran that fast. So I don't know who had his his timer on the marathon. I think Bradley
was in the helicopter.
Bradley might have been carrying both of them. But then they get up for the match, and they put on a performance up in the Brandywell as well. But the best team. I mean, and it's just the appetite for me to be able to keep coming back. Shells obviously put them back in their place last year, but to keep come back, how ferocious they came back, especially around August time. They were unbelievable. It looked as if they were just going to completely run away with it. They've had a blip at the end, but best team, league table does not lie.
Yep, absolutely. I love that, Vinny, isn't it? You had to get the Derry City mention in there straight away, didn't he? You know?
Oh, typical. Here we go again, yeah.
Don't worry, we'll be coming
Derry celebrating finishing second.
Hey, it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
It sure is.
Arsenal.
Don't worry.
Not coaching Arsenal.
We will get to that, lads. Listen, the start of our agenda today was torn up just a couple of hours before recording when we got the news that Ciarán Kilduff has stepped down as the manager of Dundalk just 19 days after he led them to the title win and promotion to the top flight. That comes just days after a letter from the Dundalk American Consortium was sent to principal shareholder John Temple and the FAI, demanding that he relinquish his shares in the club. Temple has rejected that request, but has said they should be making a financial offer for his 65% of the shares in the club. Chris Clinton, John Keenan and Kevin Brayton are the consortium members who own the other 35%. Now, as well as that, Temple has been speaking to the brilliant Dundalk fan podcast, the Town End podcast, and has been really upfront about the licensing situation. Of course, they have made that application for their Premier Division license for next season. The grant of $454,000 from the Sports Capital Fund will cover the replacement of the artificial pitch. That's in around €300,000. But to do that, and the floodlights as well, which have to be replaced and turned into LED lights, there seems to be a bit of confusion over whether they need to take down the whole floodlight stands or just replace the lights. But to do the pitch and the lights all together would mean that the grant would still be a shortfall of around €50,000. Now, I've been speaking to people in the know just to get a bit of a steer on this. It does seem that some of the talk around Dundalk not getting a Premier Division licence for next season, or the fears that they won't, seems to be a little bit premature. There are ways around this. They can name a pitch that they can play on next season. There's also the option to maybe play their matches on a Saturday at 5 o'clock. There's always around that kind of thing. So I think for some people to be kind of... putting it out there that Dundalk could be staying in the First Division, Cork City will stay in the Premier, that's all a bit premature. Those First Division, or sorry, those licensing applications are in, they're being reviewed. We're still no wiser as to whether teams are going to get licensed or not just yet. So with all those facts out there, Vinny, just a brief run through what we've gone through at Dundalk. What are you thinking?
I think you're very close to the bone from what I've heard only recently. I'm not as close to Dundalk for obvious reasons. I think half of the people in the world think I lived there because I was there for so long. I don't. But I think we're in the middle of a standoff. I think both sides are waiting to see who blinks first. To be fair, John Temple was man enough to stand up and protect the club when he needed. I just hope Dundalk don't make that same error of sort of eat themselves from within again. They made that recently, not in the long distance past. I think you're right to mention the hysteria around people looking for clickbait and different bits and pieces. I think Dundalk, if they're going to get a license or not, I don't think what's happened in the last week will overly change that. If they've done their business right, in around September or August, your license is applied for. We'll find out. So, look, it's a wait and see. I think it's a bit of a standoff. I think it will get resolved. I hope it does. I think it's fair to say John Temple hasn't necessarily done a bad job in terms of keeping the ship afloat when he had to step in. And also, he's returned Dundalk, subject to licence, back to the Premier Division. But there's no doubt, to compete in the Premier Division, you need investment. So if people are looking to buy into the club or extend their shareholding, you hope they're coming in and looking to invest in the club and spend money. So hopefully it's good news on the way. I'm not buying all the doom and gloom that's around it, but I understand the world we live in now, everybody's looking for bits and pieces. But I think a little bit of patience and let the two people lock heads, and eventually you'd like to think common sense prevails, and we'll most likely have a new owner at Dundalk for the start of next season.
Gareth, just on the manager situation, like whatever happens with the licence, this is a massive blow to lose Kieran Kilduff, a man who seems to have gone the right way about becoming a manager, a full-time manager. He's obviously worked his way through a couple of different jobs, learned the ropes, and he goes and gets some promotion in the first attempt in his first full-time job at a men's senior team. This is a massive blow. Now, he's been linked as well as a couple of, I know the Irish Examiner had a story today, John Fallon writing that he has been linked with Waterford. That's been kind of out there as well for the last few days. Possibility he could be there. So, like, look, whatever way you look at this, it's just a massive, massive blow to lose him.
Yeah, and the off the field antics has been completely overshadowed to what he and the team achieved this year, because getting back into to the Premier Division is not easy. I remember 2010, Derry went back into the Premier Division, or sorry, the First Division with Stephen Kenny, and I thought, oh, they'll walk it. They only won up by three. They only got back up by 3 points. They've Kieran Condolph and the players have won this by 10 points against some good sides. He's done an incredible job, but now after busting his arse for a year and not be able to go now and build a Premier Division team because of the nonsense off the pitch, and having to leave or whatever has happened. That's disappointing, because of course he wants to challenge himself. He wants to go up against Shamrock Rovers, Shells, Bowes, Derry, Pats. That's what he wants to do. But now he's not allowed to, because of the nonsense off the field. And Dundalk, because of the uncertainty off the pitch, they've lost a load of good players throughout the years, a load of good managers. They need to just get some stability off the pitch and start bringing the club back to where it should be, which is in the Premier Division. But Kieran Condolph will have no want of suitors. The job he has done, the as you say, the kind of journey that he's been on, he's been humble enough to go back and start from the start, go through his badges, go through the coaching assistance, the ladies teams, and now with Dundalk. So if it is Waterford, we want to see him back in the Premier Division.
Vinny, like, we don't want to speculate over reasons as to why he might have left, but, you know, and I don't even know if he saw what the budget was for next season, but he obviously doesn't like what he sees there, like, you know, with the regards to the potential of the kind of squad he can put together to try and stay in the Premier Division. Like, it's obviously, and, like, you know, Kieran Condolph really well, there's a massive affinity between him and the club Dundalk. I'd say there's nothing he would have loved more than to be managing the team in the top flight again next year, to try to bring them on even further than he has already.
Yeah, I mean, he's made this decision. We're all putting two and two together. Like, there's no certainty Waterford are going to be a Premier Division club next year, you know? So, but obviously he felt he couldn't wait around. He can't sign players, I'd imagine, or how do you sign a player? How would a player agree to sign from? So sometimes you've got the head start on some clubs, because you look at clubs, not sure whether they're secure next year. A couple of the first division clubs that you would have seen a lot of players, and he'd know who would have the potential to step up. So he probably felt he hasn't had that sort of head start, that a structured club next year, going into next season with an owner giving a budget, whether he likes it or not, would have meant he could have started his work, and he can't. So it feels like he's made that decision. Knowing Kieran, I imagine he hasn't made that decision without a plan B. So I presume he has a plan B. So we'll wait and see. Only he knows what that plan B is. So it's sort of wait and see time. So, look, he's done really well. Dundalk were favourites to be promoted, but it's all right saying that. It's like Shamrock Rovers being favourites to win the league. You've got to go and do it. Not everyone can win a league title. Kieran has done it. So, best of luck to him. If it is Waterford, great. Let's hope they're a Premier Division team, you know, for his sake. And but I think there's a lot of speculation. We've got to wait and see. And yeah, there's a lot to play out in the club. It isn't good to have the noise around the club. It's about time we had no noise. So even though they're in the first division, I get it, but it was good that there was a bit of peace and quiet around the club for so long, the past 12 months. It's just a shame that this is playing out in the media and social media.
I'm just, and we'll move off this in just a moment, Vinny. I'm speaking as an outsider here, and I'm looking at the situation here with John Temple being the principal shareholder. Like, the club was on the verge of going bust, and he put his neck on the line. He came in there, pulled them back from the brink, got Kilduff in, you know, oversaw a season in which they get promoted back up into the Premier Division. And now you've got this American consortium that owns 35%. It seems like Temple and the people that he has working there with him put in a lot of work over the year to try and get this to happen.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
And now you've got these guys saying that he should relinquish his shares to them. Now, he said, that's fine, but you've got to make a financial offer. Like, am I missing something here? Like, why would they expect him to just hand the 65% over to them after what he's done? Now, and it just, there just seems to be so much bad feeling towards John Temple. Like,
I'm not taking any sides in it. So let me just make it, if you think about it from a business point of view, so the first thing you're going to have to do when you go into the club as any owner is potentially have to spend somewhere between, yes, there's a grant there for X amount. You're probably going to have to spend a good to £400,000-£500,000 on the ground to make it capable of hosting the Premier Division next year. So they could probably argue that they're giving John Temple a get out, because if he stays in the club next year like that, are you going to have to play Premier Division games at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because they don't have the lights? So my understanding is those structure of those floodlights, they're brilliant lights when they're in terms of the height, they have that Daily Mount effect of them, but they're there since the time Daily Mounts are in as well. Mm-hmm. So it comes a point where people may not be able to get up and service those lights because it's an unsafe structure. It was getting close to that a few years ago. So I'm only playing devil advocate, Stephen. I take your point, but at the same time, if you go into Dundalk tomorrow, you've got to put your hand into your pocket from anywhere between £400,000-£500,000 just to start the season. Mm. And that's not even signing the player. That's just the pitch, or that's the sort of between the pitch and the funding that's there for the AstroTurf. So yeah, it's as I said, we don't know what's going on, and I feel it's a standoff, and we're going to find out who blinks first, because ultimately, if neither of them blink, they're at risk of being a shambles next year in terms of not being able to sign players, not having a budget in place, no manager in place. We all know managers are foolish enough to take that job without a budget, but the right manager that is needed there has to go in with a structure and has to go in knowing what his budget is. So you'd be mad for any manager to take that job at the moment till all is sorted out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I suppose just on for the supporters, you would hope it all gets tidied up quickly, because, you know, Dundalk is such a historical and great club in the League of Ireland, and the supporters deserve to know what lies in store in the future. So hopefully they can start just worrying about the football on the pitch very, very soon.
And sorry, Steve-O, yeah. Another quick point, not about Dundalk, but you think about, there's a lot of talk about needing outside ownership, and, you know, I know Bowles do a brilliant job of what they do in terms of fundraising and the way they can manage a club. You look at what Sligo are managed to do, Van Aanholt. But we do need investors that feel in the league. Like, you look at a town like Dundalk, it's a small town in the grand scheme of things. And people can only put their hands into their pockets so much. And they haven't got the far, you know, everyone can't be a Bowles. And people sometimes, I'm not saying Bowles people do this, but people go, well, how come Bowles can do it? You can't all be a Bowles and sell jerseys. And you can't all be based out of Dublin. A bit like, there's close on 40,000 people in the sort of, in Dundalk town itself. It's a small town in the grand scheme of things. I mean, Talla, a small part of Dublin, is probably 3 or 4 times the size of Dundalk. Like, so they punch above their weight up there, and they have done with results. But outside investment isn't a bad thing. It just needs to be managed and the right people. And it's, and if, I'm not talking about Dundalk or anybody gets outside investment, shouldn't be looked down their nose on, or there shouldn't be sort of slag for that, because we need people with money to give football in this country a dig out over the next few years until we can stand on our own feet. And that's still a long way away.
Yeah, certainly is. And I even look at the Hearts example over in Scotland, in Edinburgh. They, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, they went fully fan-owned, membership-owned, and then only last season and decided to sell a small stake in the club to Tony Bloom, the Brighton impresario. Look where they are now, eight points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership. But there's also a deal in there with the rights to his player data analysis system and all that kind of stuff. And it seems to be working for them. But anyway, as you say, Vinny, look, I think there's room for many different ownership models. But I'd agree with you. Look, shouldn't be looking down your nose at any other club. Anyway.
I mean, you're willing for Bowles to sell the club? To the consortium, eh?
Vinny, as any politician say, you put those words in my mouth there, Mr. Perth. I did not. Lads, let's get back to matters on the pitch. And what an amazing final day we have in store in the SSE Airtricity Premier Division. Last weekend, well, the teams that needed to get points just couldn't seem to get the kind of points that they needed. We had Pats drawing 1-1 at home with Waterford. Galway 1-1 against Drogheda United. Sligo Rovers 1-1 with Cork City. And then you had Derry City beating Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. And Shelburne, oh my goodness, at the last minute. Kermack and Oi striking to see them win 3-2 at Dalymount Park against Bohemians. What an incredible drama there. And of course then last night, as we record here today on Thursday, Shamrock Rovers beating Galway United by 1-0 to seal the Premier Division title. So, as it stands now, lads, we've got Shamrock Rovers in 66 and Cork City at the bottom in 24. So, they're out of the equation for the final day. Now, we've got Derry City on 60 points in second. Shelburne, 58 points in third. We know that second place could be a place in the Europa League for next season, so that is still up for grabs between those two. Then you've got the next three teams, Pats, Bowes, Drogheda, all on 51 points, battling it out for fourth place and a possible place in Europe for next season if Shamrock Rovers win the Cup. And then at the bottom, you've got the bottom three above Cork City, Galway, Sligo Rovers and Waterford all on 38 points looking to avoid that relegation playoff place. It's just incredibly...
So Steve, am I right? So let me do this real lazy. Pats need to be shells, right?
Yep.
That's a better goal difference,
That's a black and white one. Pats be shells, they've secured fourth. Bowes need to be drawed
it. You know, it depends on like... You know, you could you see Drogheda United or Bohemians beating each other by what Bowes are on +6, Pats are on +10. If Pats are even to win 1-0, they're 5 ahead of Bowes. So Bowes have to win 6-0 against Drogheda United.
So Pats win at B Shells, they're more or less secure fourth. Bowes beat Drogheda, they're hoping Shells do them a favour. Yeah. Drogheda beat Bowes, they're hoping Shells do them a favour.
And remember, like, Shells do have some.
And ultimately,
this isn't a case of Shelburne have secured Europe. They do have something to play for. There's a Europa League place, possibly.
And the common denominator is they're relying on Shamrock Rovers to win a cup next week as well, just for that to mean anything.
Yeah, so you'll have the club that finishes in second and the club that finishes in fourth, both cheering on Shamrock Rovers in the cup final. So I did suggest to...
So are Bowes bringing out New Jersey half and half if they were to finish fourth?
I did suggest to a pal of mine on Twitter there during the week that maybe the second and fourth place team supporters should get together all the Shamrock Rovers fans on Cup Final Day, maybe meet up for a few beers and have the crack together and, you know, cheer on the Rovers.
Yeah, I'm not sure that'll go down well.
Well, listen, let's look at our main game on the weekend on Saturday. The games are all being played on Saturday. They all have 4:30 kickoffs. You won't get a better coverage, folks, than you will on Off the Ball this Saturday. It'll be myself and Barry Murphy commentating at the Sullivan and Lamb Park, Drogheda United against Bohemians. We're going to have Ben Symes as well over at Talca Park for Shelburne versus St. Patrick's Athletic. We also have another reporter yet to be confirmed at the trophy lift, Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers, which Sligo Rovers do need points in that game. So that'll be all and off the ball this Saturday. Like, we'll probably kick off our coverage around 3 o'clock ahead of those 4:30 matches. So do tune in on News Talk or else on the Goal Out app. Look, Drogs against Bohemians, lads. I'm calling it the binary derby. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. That's the three previous meetings. And unfortunately for Bows fans, they've all been draw to wins. Can they?
Four defeats in a row.
It's incredible. What are you thinking, Gareth?
That would be unbelievable. I mean, you wouldn't, I mean, it can go anywhere. The two teams, I mean, Drogheda essentially in the last five games are probably in a wee bit better form. They don't seem to be playing that bad. It's just what Bo's team turn up, you know? I mean, I thought they were very good. I didn't see the game, obviously, it was at the Derry game, but from the highlights, they seemed to be quite good in the first half, kind of going after a Shells team that had played in Europe and they created enough chances. But then, it just all came unraveling. And if there's one ground that you do not want to go to, that you're a wee bit kind of insecure or a wee bit tentative, it's Drogheda, because they will put it up to you. So I can see it, a Drogheda one, to be honest with you. I know you don't like hearing it, Stephen, but I can see... I think
I've shown my professional credentials already. I've been completely unbiased here all throughout the season. Just one thing, Gareth, can you explain to me, listen, this Shelburne team, the one thing I will say about Joey O'Brien, when he came in and the first couple of matches, when you think about those European ties, the match against Carabag at Tolka Park, like, they made so many mistakes. They were maybe lacking a bit of bravery, courage and character, but they have that in absolute, like, it's just the performances that they've shown in recent weeks, and you know, at Dalymount Park, and so they show they've got character, they've got bottle, they've got fight, they'll keep going till the last minute, till the final whistle, and yet Bohemians just don't seem to have that. Do you put that down to the Bohemians players? Does it come from the coaching staff? What's going on there? Because they just can't seem to put in a full 90 plus minutes performance.
I talk about this similar to the way I talk about Pats. I think the balance of really, really technical players and workhorses, that you need that balance to be right. I don't know if Bows have it. I don't know if Pats have it. I think Shelburne have it in spades. They've got really good technical players, but they also have players that will work like dogs and will do the dirty work, and they will make that extra 5 yards to close someone down, not to cross the ball, that will mean it doesn't go into your box in the last 5 minutes. I don't know if Bows have that. And then I said it before, I look at the likes of Alan Reynolds and Stevie O'Donnell. They were those type of players. So if either of them were sitting at the bottom of the midfield for Bows and you had Davoy pushed on, I think they would win a lot more games and they'd be further up the pitch and they'd have European football could secured. I just don't think they have enough of those players. You think of the three players, even the middle of the park, McElroy, JJ Lunny and Mark Coyle. Those three players are quality players. They will do the dirty work all day, every day, and they will work for each other. I don't know if Bows have got that. They seem to have a good spirit. That doesn't seem a problem. The connection with the fans seems to be decent. I just don't think they do the dirty stuff well enough. I just don't think the balance of the team's well enough. Then you've got two centre midfields in the two fullback positions, and they're struggling for centre halves and consistency of centre half partnerships. So I just don't think the balance is right. I think Shelburne are much further down the line. They're a much better balanced team. And I think Drogheda know exactly, they've got an identity. They know exactly what they're going to do and who's going to do it. They can go out on the pitch knowing that if you're a player, knowing the other 10 players are going to give you 9, 10 out of 10 every week. And we're just not seeing it from the Bows players, or enough of them.
Yeah. And Vinny, what do you think about
that's it? That's really interesting.
Yeah, go on. Sorry, Vinny.
Steve, that's really interesting. I think Gareth's hit the nail on the head, because on paper, the Bows squad is exceptional. Like, it has been for 18 months, and they've underachieved in terms of, they've lost, 14 matches this season. It's not good enough. And you think of all the recruitment that's gone on and all the bits and pieces that they're playing two central midfielders at fullback. And people might well say Flores has played there for a long, long time, but doesn't mean he's a natural left back. So you wonder about that.
Twelve points. If they win against Drogheda, they'll have 12 points more than they did last season. And if they don't, they'll still have 9 points more than they did last season. Is that not progress?
Yeah, sure. Me granny had balls. Like, Steve, they've invested in the squad. Like, Bowles and Bowles fans can no longer talk about not being able to compete with people. They compete with people. they compete with people. They're one of the biggest, if not the biggest club in the country now. They're there, thereabouts. Say what you want. They were able to take James Taylor from Drogheda. They're not like scrapping around with no money to spend. They have brought in a lot of good players, but they haven't got the balance right. Haven't got the balance right over a period of time. They're inverting fullbacks into midfield positions, then getting done on turnovers. You're like Keith Buckley is still the one to come on, and after 60 minutes, he was excellent. He was the one, probably excellent. Just haven't got the balance right. Started Connor Parsons the other day. Colin Whelan hasn't worked out. That's been unfortunate. But they haven't got some of their recruitment right. They haven't fixed where their biggest problems are, and that's been across the back four.
Finney, interesting you mentioned the back four and the recruitment. Sean Graham, brilliant when he was there, and a huge catalyst in that brilliant run they went on. Was that, looking back at it now, was that a mistake, signing a player for 6 months?
No, I think that'd be really harsh to suggest that, because you don't know how Sean was going to work out. I mean, I thought Sean was excellent for them, but I just think you've just got to look back to last week, and you look at the structure, you look at the difference in styles with Shelbourne recently and Bowles. Shells, everyone makes tactical changes now. We're in a game where people make changes and stuff. I get that, okay? And it's part of the game. And Shells, like, have gone up to Tallaght and won with four midfielders. They've gone back to a 4-3-3. They played five at the back. But it's all been subtle changes. But look at the bench. James Norris came off. Evan Caffrey came off the bench. Meepo came off the bench. Kieran McEnroy, who's probably should be in Team of the Year. And Mbang came off the bench. So Shell seems to be further down the line now than what Bowles are. And I think when you list the two groups of squads together on paper, there isn't that much between them. But it feels like one has a lot of momentum heading into next year, being Shelbourne. And on the back of that, European money. But I don't think the management can blame money on where their squad is at Bowles. So I'd be worried about a couple of things. You know, I think they've got to recruit really strongly and go after centre halves, and they've got to they've got to improve. It's like, it's still ultimately, like, except they've improved on last year in terms of league position, but that wasn't overly difficult. They still lost 14 games of football, Stephen. You cannot be happy with that.
And what's your thoughts on the match against Drogheda United? Like, as Garrett says there, you know, there's maybe just that lack of a certain type of player. One thing Drogheda aren't lacking is that type of player. You look at the likes of Ryan Brennan, Luke Keane. I know Ryan Brennan was missing last week. Conor Keighley. Like, they do have, you know, I'm not just saying they're just fighters and scrappers. They're also good players as well. But they've certainly got that kind of characteristic that Garrett is speaking about there.
Well, I'm not trying to be argumentative for the sake of it. I'm not trying to get a little bit of clickbait, okay, by being a little bit critical of what Bowles have ultimately done. But, like, people will, when you listen to it, like, Devoy has been lauded all season. People say he's a six. People say he's a brilliant six. And I've seen him play brilliant in there. But ultimately, he's probably not a six. If you want to kick on to the next level, you need someone in beside him. And so that's the difference about scrapping and all of that stuff. And we've seen Devoy do bits of that. But the test is, I think if Dawson Devoy does really well as the six, then Bowles can win games against anybody. And if he's just okay in there, well, then they struggle. So it is a pivotal position. And I think he's the kingmaker for the team. I think he's that good as well that he can. But they have to decide. They've no choice coming into this game, but they've got to decide, do they need somebody alongside Devoy and get him, whether it's an eight or two sitting midfielders. And they've got to fix that, because, it's huge. Garrett's right, he's touched on it. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah, and I think for Devoy's sake as well, and for all the Bowles players, because they do have a talented squad, they almost need, and you know yourself, when you, and I've been there, you go to Drogheda and you get kicked up around the place. You either change the playing style, because I know me and Vinny have a different views on this as well, or you can't play, you got to stick with your identity. You got to play the team you're playing against as well. So they should be able to change that, and they don't have enough players in the squad to be able to change that and to be able to go and get a scrappy 1-0 one away to Drogheda. They've got to play that style, and that style, when Drogheda press you, everybody has experienced it. The best teams, Shells, Bows, Derry, Rovers, you got to be able to change it, and you got to allow Devoy to go and be express himself. Because if he's sitting at the bottom at midfield and he's got four or five players attacking him, pressing him, battering him, he can't even think about going forward and creating that pass or creating that goal. He should have a couple of people in there beside him looking after that for him and then getting him the ball higher up the pitch. I mean, and I'm not a manager, that's just my view.
Yeah, well, listen.
And I still think they'll finish fourth, by the way, Steve.
Okay, well, Minister Pertz, I did. You've completely dodged my question there that I asked you a couple of moments ago. Drogheda United. So, as I said, they've got good players in there. They've frustrated Bohemians three times this season. So, like, all, you know, it would all point to Drogheda win on their own patch this Saturday afternoon. What do you think?
It's only law of averages, Steve. You just feel like, but it's a hard one to know. We were up there early on the season, do you remember? And balls were quite good, and Denison was excellent in goal, wasn't he? On the night for Drogheda, he made a world class save. If you remember, we were right behind it. The problem is, if I say what I'm going to say, I think most neutrals want Drogheda to end up in Europe because of what happened to them this year. That means them beating Bows this week and Shells getting over the line. I don't think you could be really pissed off over that or disappointed on behalf of Drogheda. So it would be, I wouldn't mind them winning, but part of me thinks Bows will get the job done. But God knows what's going to happen in Pats are so Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know what's going to happen there. But I think Bows might just get the win on Friday, and we'll be waiting for we'll be in the ground and we'll be waiting for updates from Talca Park. I feel that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Saturday, folks. Don't turn up, Finney, at Sullivan Land Park now on Friday. Wait to do your job. Anyway, Kevin Doherty might have one of his Shelburne jerseys on underneath his manager's coat now on Saturday afternoon as well, Gareth, because he'd be hoping for his team to win on his old club then to get a victory over St. Pat's. Like Shells and St. Pat's, you look at the form table here as well, like the Shell form has just been incredible. Like even just over the last five games, they're the best team in the country, 5 wins out of 5. You can take it back further. And again, St. Patrick's Athletic, a little bit like Bows, just not getting the results that they need over the last couple of weeks. They drew against Bohemians 0-0 after beating Shamrock Rovers by 1-0. And then draw against Waterford, won the relegation battlers last Friday. Like, is there any way in the world you can see Stephen Kenny taking Pats to Talca Park this Saturday and getting a win?
Yeah, and this is what I like about it. See, if you look a little bit deeper to Shelburne. Shelburne have got all them ones. Sometimes they can be lucky or they can get a last-minute goal. Shelburne have been very, very good. They haven't just got over the line in a couple of games. And not only that, then you put into the European games that have been going on as well. I mean, the levels that they're getting at and the energy levels from the team and the like-for-likeness of quality on the bench, the squad's brilliant. Really, really good. So you look at that and the momentum they have. Then you look at Pats. I mean, the fact that Pats have been so poor, and I think everyone, even the listeners will agree, they've been so poor this season, to have a chance, a shot at it, and have been in their own hands come this stage of the season is absolutely amazing. And the one thing I will do, and we all know about Stephen Kenny, he will not leave anything unturned. He will go for this at the weekend. He has to go for it. And sometimes he's at his best when he really doesn't have an option B. And we saw that at the end of last season when they went on that incredible run to get into Europe. So you wouldn't put it past him, but my heart would say that Shelburne will be too strong to get either a one or a draw, which is not going to be enough for Pat. And then it's all down to the other game. But as well, and again, we're going to come to the team of the year as well. I mean, I would always look around at the dressing room at the end of the year, right? And this will happen in every dressing room from every League of Ireland club. And you can literally point to a player or three players that probably could be in team of the year. I don't know if the Pats players could do that or who they would point to, because or they would point to very few. And that's just the problem. They haven't got the standards. The balance hasn't been good enough. And they'll have learned a lot. I mean, I tapped them to do well this year. Next year, they will have learned a lot and they'll come back stronger. Will that be in Europe or not? We'll soon find out.
Mealy aside on that comment, Garrett, isn't it, to be fair to him? Yeah. He's thereabouts.
And Anang. Yeah. Anang is most clean sheets in the league.
Yeah, but he's still not the best goalkeeper in the league.
No, I tell you what, just on Anang before you go, Stephen.
Yeah.
And I've been, obviously, because it's been on so much TV and they've been staggered, I've seen a lot of them. His distribution ability out of his hands with his feet is incredible.
Unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like it. Mm. What next time you see him playing, it's pinpoint. He's really good. Now, he's a good keeper. Yes, I kind of agree with Vinny as well. There's two or three others that might be a little bit better this season, but his distribution.
We'll come
incredible.
Back to that in a minute. Just Vinny, just get your thoughts on the Saints, because we've kind of, I think everybody knows how good Chels are, and I think a lot of people would see them as favourites going into this game based on form and based on the fact that they do still have something to play for. They're going to be playing at home in front of the Riverside, all that kind of stuff. But can you make any argument for Pats to win? Like, if you look at their last meeting was in the Cup, Pats knocked Chels out, 2-0 win. Mason Media score, Chris Forrester score from the spot. Granted, that was in Inchicore, but even looking at the like, they did draw on Inchicore, Shelburne, Pats won there last September. Is there any arguments or any case you could make for Saints winning this game?
Yeah, there is, because they've got a bunch of really good players. They've invested heavily in a squad this year that should be further down the line than they are. And in one-off games at different stages throughout the season, they've been very, very good. So that's the argument. 100%, wouldn't shock you if they went there and got a result and played really well. So the problems there are deeper than just the one-off games. One-off games, they've got enough good players that if they perform all onto it, 8, 9 out of 10, they're good enough there to go and win. What I like about what they have done more than what the opposition they're playing, Shelburne, have done more than anybody else is have subtle tactical changes that has got them over the line in a lot of games, bar sort of that start to the season. And even in Europe, they've done that really well. So Joey O'Brien has just continued to build on the work that Duffer done. So I don't know what the right word or the right language is, but St. Pat's season has not been good. There is a light at the end of the tunnel if they manage to scrape into fourth and ultimately get into Europe as a result of that. But I think any other manager in the country, with the exception of Stephen Bradley, had the same season as Stephen Kenny has had. They're under massive pressure. And head into next season under huge pressure, where the first 6, 7, 8, 9 games are really important to them. So he's earned that little bit of leeway, you would imagine, as same as Bradzer has. So he'll get away with it this year, but they can't continue to do what they're doing. It hasn't been good enough for what's invested there and what the owner and what's in the background there. It's not good enough. And the other concern I have around Pats, and Pats fan may or may not like this, is Mealy is a separate case. He was almost there already. We've stopped seeing some of the young players coming through the club that we would have seen over the years. They always unearthed a new young player or two every year. Not really seeing that. Signed a lot of senior pros in the club. That'd be a concern if I was involved with Pats as well.
Okay, well, we've got Bows away to Drogheda United, Pats over at Shells. And then down at the bottom, we're looking at the three teams trying to avoid the relegation playoff. Sligo Rovers away to Shamrock Rovers. And I'd imagine Shamrock Rovers and Cork City at this stage should definitely be looking after players for the cup final. Gareth, what do you think? Is this, am I maybe kind of looking too deeply into that one? Like, you would feel Shamrock Rovers got the title wrapped up now. They really need to win this double. They've got to think of Europe as well. Stephen Bradley's not going to risk players, you know, going into this game against Sligo Rovers. That means nothing to them. Does that make Sligo Rovers' job much easier?
It kind of does. I mean, Sligo Rovers know it's going to be very difficult going there, but I think Stephen Bradley has played that card already against Galway. I think he's rested a lot of players against Galway that he'll be protecting. I always say this, and Vinny will know this better than me, but see, as a player going into a cup final, you want to be playing the last game before the cup final. You want to be playing the week before. You can't go 2 weeks into a cup final just training. You do not be sharp. You do not have that kind of natural instinct and be firing on all cylinders. So I expect Stephen Bradley to play a strong team against Sligo, possibly maybe barring one or two, the cup final team. I know Sligo won't like me hear me saying this, but I think they'll go strong, and I think he will have rested players against Galway there during the week. Sligo, they've nothing to lose. They just got to go for it. They play well in Tallaght. Sorry, I don't know what it is, where it's a pitch, the type, the style of football that Shamrock Rovers play suits Sligo, but it's always quite expansive game that they don't get turned over very easy. They seem to create enough chances, so it'll be a good game. They've just got to go and give it a rattle. I mean, it's a shot to nothing. Champions elect, you're going away to them. They're not expected to come away with anything, and if they were to come away with a draw, it'd be a serious result.
Yeah, the key to that one on Roberts is, Stephen, is like, does Lee Grace need another game? Hasn't played a lot of minutes. Does Danny Grant need games? Can he get himself onto the pitch? What are they thinking? Well, who's going to start up front? It's most likely Gaffney. Gaffney's one of them lads that can miss a game or two. He may miss out. So there'll be a mixture of some lads needing game time and finding their rhythm, and there'll be a mixture of just looking at to say someone like Mahili may not start. He started a huge amount of football, and he may decide to leave him out for argument's sake, where they've got a lot of strength and depth and numbers. So is Danny Mandrew close to getting to the cup final, and he may feel he needs a game? So there'll be a couple of decisions like that there. But I think it's important to say, and we'll see it tested this weekend. Well, we actually won't see it tested, because everyone more or less has something to play for, but the integrity in our league will be so high that Bradshaw won't be doing Galway or Waterford a disservice by letting Sligo have a handy one in Tallaght. So it's the toughest fixture still, albeit the cup final there that Sligo could have got. I still say you go away to the champions just after lifting the title, the fans be there, they'll pick up the trophy. You do not want to lose that game. It just leaves a sour taste in your mouth.
And Sligo are struggling at the moment.
What happened against Cork City? Like, you're thinking they've got to win this game. Like, Cork are gone.
They were just so tentative against Cork City. It's almost, it can change the perception in the players' head, saying every game that they play, most of the games they'll be expected to lose. But they went into that game with the expectation at home to go and beat the Cork City that are going to go down. So that wee bit of added pressure just did not suit them. They didn't play with the normal freedom, and they didn't look threatening. They didn't look expansive. The players that usually Hakiki, Eldon, they just didn't look comfortable having that kind of responsibility of having to go and win the game, or the pressure of going and win the game. But I don't think they'll have that in Tallaght. So I think that's why you might see a wee bit more freedom from Sligo.
Yeah, it's going to be like if Rovers do play, as you're saying, Vinny, like if they go, like Lee Grace needs to try and get himself up to fitness for the final. I can't see Pico Lopez being dropped. So he just wants to play every bloody game. So they're going to be up against a strong defence, and, you know, the likes of Elding, Hakiki, these kind of guys that they might be relying on to score for them. Like, it's going to be a tough day out for them if this Rovers team or that Rovers defence does play as we'd expect.
Yeah, part of what Rovers have been brilliant for a number of years has been the three, Cleary, Lopez,
yeah,
and Grace. So they haven't played a lot together over the last month or two. And I'd probably want the three of them, if I could, to play together before the cup final again. Now, depends on Lopez, depends on Cleary. If any of them got any sort of niggles, then you definitely leave them out and maybe bring a Matthews in. So that's the key for them, is you'd like to find them. You often hear coaches speak about finding your rhythm. Mm. And we used to have an old coach, Christy Campbell, used to talk about the units back in to when he took, he was Stephen Kenny's assistant when we first started. But like, I know it was 4-4-2, but the two centre halves working together, right winger, left winger, you know, all, you're all skill by days, you know, your combinations. Well, there is still a bit of element of that where that back three, they know each other's game inside out. And ultimately, if they don't play this week ahead of the cup final, they'd be fine. But it just is that little bit of rhythm. I think they'd like to play together in the build-up to the cup final.
Jesus, just like, as well, the Ed McGinty factor as well. Like, can you imagine Ed McGinty pulling off a miraculous save that denies Sligo Rovers a goal to keep them out of that relegation playoff? It's just, oh, the storylines, Gareth, it's just incredible stuff.
No, go ahead.
Waterford Galway, Gareth, another one. Like, it's just, again, Galway United, you felt, oh, could they take advantage of this dip in form from Shamrock Rovers? Could they get a point at Tallaght Stadium just to give themselves that bit of security going into the last day? But they didn't. They got beaten, and now they have to go to Waterford. Waterford that are playing very well under their interim coach, and it's going to be a tough day again for the Tribesmen over at the
100%, isn't it? And I think even Lawler, like, being his last game, the job that he has done every time he's gone into that manager's gig, the players almost deserve to give him a good send-off, because as far as I know, he's not going to continue at the end of the season. So, I mean, there's all sorts of permutations. If Shamrock Rovers are 2-0 up at half-time against Sligo, what are Lawler and Caulfield going to go and just say, you know what, a point does us? So it's going to be a tough game. I mean, Galway, I thought, were very unlucky not to get a point. I thought they played well and defended well against Shamrock Rovers. Again, Dylan Watts with an absolute unbelievable free kick. So they'll go on with a wee bit of confidence. Haven't played so well, not getting any points. But Waterford are a dangerous team if you're off it. And I don't expect Galway to be off it. So I can see that being a very tentative game. Very little in it. 1-0 either way, if not 0-0, if Shamrock Rovers are 2 up against Sligo.
The only thing,
Waterford, G-Mac, Garrett have to have the mindset. Sorry, Steve, but Waterford have to have the mindset win, don't they? Like, just like, I know Galway can, I think a draw will be good enough for them. Ultimately, wanted their head and goal difference.
Goal difference.
Waterford have to be thinking, just win, no matter, forget other results, forget what's happening, Tala. Just go and win.
They're the worst home team in the league, lads. The worst home team in the league, Waterford. Now, Galway are the second worst, apart from Galway or Cork City, they are the worst away team. But that home record for Waterford must be hanging over them.
I tell you what, Stephen, they played Derry. Now, Derry got over the line with two mistakes from Waterford. They were exceptional in the first 35 minutes, Waterford were. If Waterford play like that or anything like that against Galway are on baller, because they were dynamic, they were pressurizing, they were winning the ball back, they were hungry, and they were able to create a lot of good chances. Brian Marmick made a couple of good saves. They got their goal. They should have went 2-0 up. And had they went 2-0 up on that night, Derry were never coming back. So Waterford have a spring in their step, and they'll know how important that one is. It just, as you say, it's in their own hands, both teams.
And they've got Tommy Lonergan and Pádraig Amond, 22 goals between them as well, Vinny. That's surely that's something that they should be looking to going into this game. And Amond as well, just wanting to win that goal in the boot ahead of Mason Amelia.
Yeah, I think Podge has been brilliant all season, hasn't he? And he's, that little bit of experience will kick in. It's funny, I don't know whether anyone picked it up or not, but was at the Waterford and Pats game, and the little hug, Amond went over to Melia and just had a little word in his ear. It was like the all pro speaking to Melia, and Mason was signing autograph. A lot of kids ran onto the pitch. It was his last time there, and it was a lovely little moment where Pod just came in, had a little word in his ear. We must ask him what he said, but I'm sure it was a nice little bit of advice, and it was great to see the two of them, like, young and old on the pitch at that moment. And it was lovely little touch. Pod's a lovely young fella. I had that experience with him when I started coming to the end. I was in the same side as him. He was only starting out as well. So, great young lad. I think he's a Carlow boy, isn't he? Or Tullow, around that area.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's done really well for himself. And I don't know. I don't know where I fall on that. Do I want Podge to get the golden boot, or do I want the young buck to come and sort of leave on a high? It's a hard one, isn't it? Mm. Be nice if they could split right boot for one and left boot for the other.
The goal of boots, yeah, definitely. I have to say one thing, because after we did the game between Pats and Overs, Vinny, I was down getting the post-match interviews, and Mason, fellow Newtown Mount Kennedy man, I should add, he came up the steps from the dressing rooms and kind of walked past me, just kind of, how are you? And I tell you one thing, like, because we've said it from looking down at him on the pitch, he's a unit. But then as he walked past me, like, he's just, like, he's not, you know, hugely tall, but he's just a unit when he goes past you. So, so strong looking. And, yeah.
They're all rough down in that Newtown Kennedy place, aren't they, Steve?
A beautiful village, Vincent, I'll have you know. Absolutely beautiful place. So, yeah, that's Galway United against Waterford. Look, Galway United, I should say as well, lads, because we need to kind of remember as well about John Caulfield, the job he's doing there, because they have been resurgent over the last number of weeks. Like, John Caulfield's been through the mill. I know it's not something he'd speak about himself after games or whatever. You know, he lost his mother, obviously, early in the season, then losing Ollie Horgan as well. He's had a lot going on in the background there. There's a lot of stuff for him to deal with, as well as managing, Vinny. You know as well as yourself as a coach, like, this, when you've got stuff like two huge losses he's had in his life, in the background there, as he's trying to manage this team, the top flight, that can't have been easy. And to get them, you know, back playing, get them motoring again, like, he deserves huge praise.
You know what, Stephen, to coach at this level, at the manager should have said at this level, I heard Tim Clancy speak about how big Kevin Doherty was from when he first went into management as well. I know I was lucky enough to win a league, and the first thing I said in front of everybody was, to win a league you have to have league winning staff, and I referenced Rory Higgins and John Gill at the time. What to manage or coach at this level, your assistant manager, to be anything about you, and I know it was the same with John and Ollie, is they actually, you speak to them more than anybody else in your life. Anybody, partners, wives, kids, you will speak to your assistant manager more than anybody else. And to have that taken away from you mid-season, that can happen. But to take it away in the circumstances that have happened to John, to be still battling away, not using that as an excuse, not making any reference to it other than he kept Ollie's sort of illness privately, because I believe that was Ollie's wish. Mm-hmm. And for John to do that, look, John's a proper League of Ireland stalwart, like, and he's won a league title. He knows what it takes to get over the line, and he knows what it takes to do it both ways. I think they'll be okay. They'll be a Premier Division club next year. And John just deserves that breathing space at the end of the season. They'll still obviously sign players. He'll do his work, and he'll work as hard as ever. Mm. Just needs to get this week out of the way, and then let the man unwind and recharge his batteries, and he'll come back flying again next year. But that's been such a difficult year for him. Honestly, couldn't tell you how much you rely on an assistant manager and or a coach like that. And particularly one as sort of busy as what Ollie was. That's a huge loss for him. So full credit to John, and, you know, you wished him well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, Vinny. Gareth, Derry City, what a finish to the season you guys are going to have, playing against Cork City, preparing for an FAI Cup final. And I'd imagine might play a moody team as well. Are we going to see Derry City romping home to second place and Europa League football next season, hopefully?
Well, that is the target. I mean, what a prize that is. I mean, for the amount of chaos that's gone on within the club, Tiernan, I think finishing second is an incredible achievement. Listen, it's not going to be easy going down to Cork. They never get it easy down in Cork. I remember the Cup semi-final last year, Cork put it up to them, were probably the better team, and Derry scraped through it. They're playing well at the minute. They played well against Shamrock Rovers at the weekend. They have a lot of players playing out of position. They're not playing with a recognised striker, which a lot of people don't know. They went from having four strikers at some stage this season to now having zero. So
where's Depot, Gareth? Where's Depot? Injured, or is he just
hamstring?
Gone.
Hamstring. Yeah, hamstring. And I tell you, hamstring as well, that may not be ready for the beginning of the next season. So he's a huge loss. He was the one that they were relying on putting their hopes into.
Liam Boyce, like he looked like he was going to be a huge player coming towards the end of the season. Losing him to injury as well was a massive blow.
Massive. Two massive players. I mean, Boyce was actually starting to get his rhythm again, and he was starting to get into the games. You could see he was getting quicker, and the players were starting to link up. I mean, these players were only on the team. I mean, Vinny talked about the chemistry between the players. It was only starting to get going, and then all of a sudden the players just went, it started dropping like flies, especially the strikers. So Michael Duffy,
Diallo the other day, Gareth, as well, how good was he when he came on second half? He probably nearly deserved man of the match. Fleming was excellent, brilliant signing for them. Have they secured Fleming for next season?
Fleming is secured, and Diallo's not. Diallo, they're talking to Diallo at the minute. He'd be a huge miss for, if you ask me. Diallo would be. Fleming's been incredible. Deservedly got man of the match. He's been a real find. And considering Ben Doherty Ben Doherty was in team of the year 2 years ago and was flying and was probably our best player that year, to now have Fleming in there to compete with them. And then you've got Winchester and along with Diallo and O'Reilly there as an option. They're quite strong, but there's just too many players out of contract. Too many players out of contract and not. I mean, let's rewind back 12 months. We were going to a cup final against Drogheda where there was too many players playing on the pitch out of contract, and now we're coming to the same situation. It's just not good enough from the club off the pitch.
I have been banging on about Diallo, haven't I, lads, for two seasons now. I love that guy so much, and you might get on the blower to Pat Fennin here, actually.
You're already being on, Steve, don't worry.
No, he's such a good player. Look, Tiernan Lynch, he was getting hammered quite a lot at the start of the season, you know, and rightly so. He's gone 9 games now without defeat in the Premier Division. It's been an incredible run. What have they got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins and 4 draws. Absolutely incredible. When it was needed, he's getting the results. And I'm starting to think that maybe that some people were criticising him earlier on the season, maybe, you know, and I wondered about him myself, but he's just, is he now, and I understand about the players and the contract situation, all that, is he now starting to look like a manager who can contest for the title next season, Gareth, do you think?
Well, it's funny, I mean, we talk about Pats and Bowes, right, and the type of player they have. See the type of player that Pats and Bowes need, they have it in abundance. They've got incredible, reliable players that every week they are performing 9 out of 10, and Tiernan's done that. He's put that together. Now, if you look at the state or the season as a whole, at the beginning of the year, obviously he was in late in the window. He had to get a few players in. You're always going to get a few of them wrong. But he went with the same team for about 7 or 8 games in a row, and they were absolutely exceptional. Then the window came, and he made a whole heap of, Kevin Holt left, McMullen left, and he signed a heap of new players again. It went a wee bit inconsistent then again, but now, over the last 7 or 8 games, where he's had to work with the players that he's got, he's producing results again and wins. So once he gets a settled squad, and the squad's not deep enough at the minute, as far as I can see, once he gets that settled squad through pre-season and the next season, I'd be quite hopeful. He deserves a lot of credit for finishing second, honestly, for
the,
what's
the
going
challenge
on.
Is, Gareth, though, did he do what Pats did last year, finish on a steam train, become everyone's tip and flatter because they don't get the recruitment right? I mean, that is the challenge, and lose a lot of players and chopping it, like the amount of chopping and changes this year were off the charts. And I actually give a special mention because people think I was critical of him. Marin Goal has been one of the catalysts for the last them wins you're talking about, Steve. Your keeper has to be brilliant. And we've been talking about Mar being brilliant or potentially brilliant for a long time, even though he's a young boy. Well, he has been for the last 2 months.
Yeah, incredible.
And it's about making the saves when you need to make them.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to make the... I just felt one-on-one, he was never making the big saves. Well, he started to make them over the last 2 months. He's been incredible the last 2 months.
Yeah, he's playing with a smile on his face, but as well as the credit we give him, he'll admit to you for the first 6 months of the season he was off it. He was off his standards that he set the previous 2 seasons. So players can go through that. Defensively, Derry have been really good. They haven't given many goals away. Really, really good. And they've been very good at punishing teams when they make mistakes. But yeah, Mar's been a massive part of that. But again, they kind of need just a couple of players in a couple of positions, along with holding on to the key players. But there's too many key players out of contract. Should you lose 2, 3 of them, then you could be in bother again. But attracting those players and keeping those players with a Europa League position, you've got a chance.
Lads, brilliant stuff. I cannot wait for Saturday. I can't wait to see if Stephen O'Donnell and Anil Reynolds get their boots on to play against Tralee United this weekend. Great stuff, lads. I really appreciate it. Cork City supporters, I know we haven't touched on your team too much in this podcast edition, but do not worry. We will go heavy, heavy, heavy on the FAI Cup final next week with a quick look at what happened on Saturday as well on next weekend's pod. And we'll look a bit more at the PFAI play team of the season. We didn't get to touch on it too much today. We're a bit over time, so we'll come back to all that stuff. And I think after the cup final, we might have a bit of a season review. Well, we did it last year as well, and we all picked our teams of the season. So we'll definitely do that in the coming
pundits
weeks.
Of the year, Steve. Well, pundits of the year.
Well, I tell you one thing.
That's all I want.
Yeah, with that award, we'll be going to Tala. We might. Can we get on to one of the delivery companies? Get that award shipped up to the mighty city of Derry. Great stuff, lads. And listen, thank you for listening, and we'll chat to you guys next week.
Cheers, man.
The League of Ireland Pod.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the refreshingly alcohol-free Rockshore 00. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.